Char Large time is 24 minutes after the hour. DJ Dave comes up with yet another appropriate piece of music for what's happening here on the show.
That's for all those late nighters out there.
Oh, my head. So, I'm in a kind of weird place. I'm tired, but I'm not tired. Do you know what I mean?
Did you know that the band The Who was originally from where? Did you know that by chance?
No.
The Who from where? Just trying to wake you up, Rich.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, joining us on the show right now is Mark Chenoweth. He is the general counsel of the Washington Legal Foundation. We were chit-chatting a little bit about this in our opening segment as I was unveiling the show while I was trying to get my gears to stop grinding. And he says New Hampshire has become a state where extortion by lawsuit is undermining our legal system and economic competitiveness. We, I think, did an interview on this topic back in February. But nonetheless, apparently there are reasons to revisit the topic again. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Rich?
Very well, thank you. Appreciate your getting up early to be with us today.
Oh, glad to do it. It's an important
topic. So, Mark,
topic.
Why don't you take a moment, introduce yourself personally and professionally and the Washington Legal Foundation and who you are and why you care about these things.
Absolutely. Well, the Washington Legal Foundation has been around since 1977. It's a free market, public interest law firm and policy center. We're based in Washington, D.C., but we get involved in cases and controversies around the country where we feel like the free market is being affected by over-regulation, over-litigation, and threats of that nature. Personally, I have been at the Washington Legal Foundation for about a year now. I have graduated from law school about 15 years ago. I have been in Washington, D.C. most of the time since then, working at private firms, worked at the Department of Justice for a while, worked at the Consumer Product Safety Commission, worked on Capitol Hill, and now I'm at the Washington Legal Foundation.
Gotcha. Now tell us a little bit more about the Washington Legal Foundation. What did you say? It was a free market, whatchamacallit?
Free market public interest law firm and policy center. So we get involved in both litigation, we file comments with federal regulatory agencies, and we publish articles on a wide range of public policy topics with a free market viewpoint.
Okay, good. So what is happening here in the Granite State that has the attention of your foundation?
Well, the lawsuit that the verdict was handed down about a year ago, April to be specific, in a lawsuit involving MTBE, and MTBE is a chemical, methyl tertiary butyl ether, it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, that is a constituent or was a constituent in gasoline that was sold in the state of New Hampshire over the last 20 years.
Right, and if I'm not mistaken, the state of New Hampshire, and I think it might have even have been Governor Jean Shaheen, healthcare queen, mandated that MTBE be added to gasoline to improve air quality and gas mileage. Is that not true?
There was a federal mandate under the Clean Air Act to add something to gasoline in order to make it burn more cleanly and improve air quality. That's right. The only ingredient that was available at the time that this first happened in sufficient quantities, at the time that the mandate was first instituted, the only ingredient that was available in sufficient quantities to meet the mandate was MTBE. That's my understanding.
All right. So it's not that the state of New Hampshire mandated it or did it. How did the federal government just said, you have to do this, and then who determined what additive would be used? You see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to find out how it was that MTBE was in the state of New Hampshire's gas tanks.
Sure. My understanding is that the mandate was a federal mandate. If there was a state mandate on top of that, I'm not aware of it.
Okay. So you're saying that the feds mandated MTBE.
The Clean Air Act mandated the use of an oxygenate in order to make gasoline burn more cleanly, and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency approved MTBE as an acceptable oxygenate to meet the Clean Air Act mandate.
Gotcha. Okay. Now I understand. Okay. So this thing turns out to be poisonous to groundwater.
It fouls the smell and the taste of groundwater. That's right.
Okay. And New Hampshire files a lawsuit against Exxon for using an EPA-approved additive.
That's right. It sounds like the course of events is that, and I should say it's not just Exxon. There were a couple of dozen different oil and gas companies involved in the lawsuit at the outset. The verdict was only against Exxon because Exxon was the one company that did not settle in the litigation, and so it took the litigation all the way to trial and was the only one still involved at that point. But there were more than a dozen different oil and gas companies that had supplied gasoline to the state of New Hampshire that contained MTBE that were involved in the litigation at the outset.
Okay. Now, at what point did the state sue, or what prompted the lawsuit? Give us a little history on this.
Sure. The lawsuit was prompted by a decision to bring a contingency. Well, let me back up. At some point, the state decided that because of the pollution that was that it believed to be in the groundwater, that it would bring a lawsuit in order to try to recover, claim that it was going to try to recover money from the oil and gas companies in order to try to get the MTB out of the groundwater or otherwise mitigate the consequences of having some of the MTB in the groundwater. But the thing that had particularly led to that was that the MTB in the gasoline was leaking out of underground storage tanks at various filling stations around the state of New Hampshire. The state did some testing, and it's not at all clear that there were any particular sites identified as sites that the state wanted to clean up. Rather, the state found, because if there had been sites, specific sites that the state wanted to clean up, it had access to a federal pool of money that's called the Leaking Underground Storage Tank Fund. It's a federal fund set up by Congress with contributions from oil and gas companies to pay precisely for problems like MTBE leaking out of underground storage tanks. And when I say MTBE leaking out, really, it's the gasoline in its entirety that was leaking out. You can imagine if you have an underground storage tank, if it develops a leak, the gasoline would leak out. MTB is just one of the ingredients that would leak out along with the rest of the gasoline. It happens to be the one that is of concern in this litigation. However, it's not at all clear that the state has identified any particular site that it wants to clean up. Indeed, we're a year after the verdict, and we still haven't been made aware of any particular site that the state wants to clean up.
All right, so let me get this straight. Federal government Clean Air Act tells the oil industry, thou shalt come up with an oxygenate additive to gasoline to make it burn more cleanly and be less polluting. They go and they get DEA approval for this stuff called MBTE. It gets added to gasoline all across the country. State of New Hampshire decides, oh, this is polluting our water. We're going to sue you. They sue, despite not identifying any one contaminated site within the state, which if they had identified, they could have gone and gotten federal cleanup funds.
That's correct.
And so there's a $236 million verdict out there, which I'm sure Exxon is appealing to.
It is appealing to the state Supreme Court. That's right.
Right. So the state, if it gets this $236 million, doesn't actually have any contaminated sites. It will use the money to clean up, and it becomes a general fund revenue, which is going to be spent on anything but anything and everything but what they sued over. Am I picking up what you're putting down?
You have the gist of it, absolutely. And a couple of points to make there. One, The $236 million is growing every day because there is something called post-judgment interest. And so every day that the defendant does not pay that amount, it continues to grow at a statutory interest rate that's well in excess, I should mention, of what you or I would be paying on a bank loan right now. In addition, the $236 million wasn't the exact sum that the jury found. The jury found over $800 million of damages. Where the $236 million figure comes from is what was determined to be Exxon's share of that $800 million plus verdict.
So the other companies that weren't part of this lawsuit because they settled already coughed up cash.
They did.
How much cash was coughed up in total, and how much of that does the state of New Hampshire have access to?
That's a good question, and I don't believe that that amount is has been made public. At least I have not seen that figure. It should be something less than the total $800 million figure for two reasons. One, just because the total amount of liability that was found by the jury was over $800 million does not mean that the settling parties coughed up the entire difference between the $236 million and the $800 million.
Right, because they would have settled before this thing even went to trial.
That's right. And presumably the state settled for sums less than that difference. Plus, this lawsuit proceeded on a contingency fee basis, meaning that the state hired plaintiff's attorneys to represent the state in the litigation. And as contingency fee plaintiff's attorneys are wont to do, they charge a healthy contingency fee for the outcome of the litigation. And so a large percentage of whatever amounts the state settled for came off the top and would be paid to the plaintiff's attorneys.
Right. Now, the contingency fee is typically what, about a third?
It can be about a third, although the contract in this case specified a tiered payment structure where the more money that the state got back, those percentages went down over time. So the total payout will not be a third of the $236 million or a third of the whatever total number it is, less than $800 million.
So let me ask you this. Who's the attorney? Who's the firm representing the state?
Well, there are two firms that have been involved. One is a firm called the Pawa Law Group, which is more of a local firm now based in Boston, I believe. The second firm is a firm out of California called the Sherleff Law Firm.
The Sherleff?
I believe it's Sherleff, S-H-E-R, different name, L-E-F-F. But the confusion is understandable.
Yes. All right, I got more I want to talk about on this. Can you hold over for the next segment, Mark?
Absolutely. Happy to
All right.
do that.
We're going to take a break now for traffic, weather, and sports, brought to us by our friends at Allied Auto Wrecking. Family-owned and operated since 1973, they are New Hampshire's premier auto recycling facility and carry a large inventory of used auto parts along with new aftermarket parts. Allied Auto Wrecking has daily arrivals of later model cars for parting out and rebuilders. They buy wrecked late model cars and remove junk cars for free. Find them online at AlliedAutoWrecking.com. That's AlliedAutoWrecking.com, or make your way out to see them out there in Wea. That's right. They're in not only in Wea, they're in Norwea. We know what that means here locally, don't we? All right, David?